There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Hello and welcome to the Bite Size Business Breakfast. What is it? Well, it's our daily Bite Size podcast that brings together the very best bits of today's show from a little earlier on. Today being Tuesday, March the 24th. Enjoy.
That is two Spanish policemen putting on a small impromptu concert with a guitar that they had in the police car for people locked in their homes in Seville.
Nice.
There you go. That video also doing the rounds this morning, people leaning out their windows, listening to the two police who obviously are patrolling to make sure that everyone is in their homes, but giving them a bit of musical entertainment as well.
There's so many of these positive stories doing the rounds at the moment. I love it. I know that we are going through tough times. Don't need me to tell you that. And we'll, of course, keep you updated on all of that throughout the course of the day right here on Dubai Eye in terms of impacts here in the region and further afield. But it's these little human stories that are coming out off the back of that one. The fact that, I don't know, we were reporting on Sunday, weren't we, about the applause around Dubai Marina at 9 o'clock on Saturday evening whilst the rains came down. I'm sure there's a song lyric there somewhere. Amidst that storm. And that was just a little recognition of the work that the health workers do. That seems to be the sort of trend at the moment. The balconies have become the front line of resistance against coronavirus as people express their support either through song, either through music, either through performance, or of course just through applause. And there is another one coming up as well if people want to get involved. There's one circulating at the moment from a number of authorities. It's time for all UAE residents to applaud all doctors and medical staff for their tireless efforts in these critical times. Wednesday the 25th of March, that's tomorrow, at 8 p.m. from your balcony or your window, let's be united in showing our support. So I like these initiatives. They're good.
Well, the other reason I chose the Spanish police for this morning's initiative, as you say there are a few out there, is because we're looking to support small local businesses here on the Business Breakfast. Malls shut, restaurants shut, shops shut. Having a look at how you can still put some of your dirhams in the pockets of the small businesses that we still want to be around when all this is over. And the small business that we've been speaking to this morning, the owner and designer is Espanol.
Yeah, Tipsy Gypsy. It is basically boho, Spanish, chic.
I did not know that you were familiar with boho chic.
I'm very familiar with boho chic. I have been educated in all things boho chic in years gone by. We're spending quite a lot of time. My father-in-law lives down in the south of Spain, and I spend a bit of time down there doing a number of polo events as well during the summer. So I'm up with or down with boho chic, whichever way you want, especially Spanish. And so that's what Tipsy Gypsy is all about. You will have seen them, JBR?
JBR, Ripe Markets.
Ripe Markets, yeah. Those little sort of pop-up stalls. So they are the epitome, if you like, of small business here.
Because I have a couple of the dresses. But I'll wear one for you tomorrow, if you like.
Indeed, yes. Support your local businesses. Because they don't have bricks and mortar to worry about in terms of that, but they do have rent for the pitches they have around town. And obviously they have gone by the way of the recent regulations as well. So as part of our sort of feature on looking at small businesses and the way that they've been affected, how they can continue to stay afloat, we got hold of Christina Franco, who you rightly said is the owner and also the designer for Tipsy Gypsy. And there's only one place to start. We had to ask her with the tough question. What is the most worrying concern for you, Christina?
My first concern is the fact, for example, that this month we have lost the rent, for example, as in some places we close before the date. Obviously understandable due to what we are going through. And I'm one of those who wanted to really shut down even, yeah, you know, earlier than what we did. But at the same time, we pay the rent ahead. And the rents that we face are pretty high. So we wonder, for example, if we are going to get some kind of compensation, not only for the, you know, the loss of profit that we had, but also the rent that we paid. And this is one of the main problems. Then also how to keep on facing the rent ahead, how to keep up with the salaries of all the staff, like I have 11 staff at the moment. And also, exactly as you said, how long this is going to last. Because this is not only a healthy virus, as I heard in an interview with Sheikh Mohammed, this is also a political virus and an economic virus. So not only we all fear how long this is going to last in terms of the virus, how long is it going to affect the population, but also what's going to be the outcome once the virus problem is over, depending on how long the countries will have to continue being shut down and therefore not making, you know, any economic progress. So my fear is, how long is this going to last? When the economy is going to pick up? How should I make decisions for the next season? Usually we always book the spaces for the next season, let's say at the end of the season, which is usually May. And now, you know, some of the organizers are asking me to already decide what I want to do, which space I want to take for the next November. And I just don't know really if next November we're all going to be back on track or, you know, this is still going to be affecting us. So it's difficult to make decisions ahead.
We also asked about, you know, how you pivot in times like this. What do you do? How do you move forward? Okay, yep, you have been dealt a crunching blow. But where do you take your business from here? And Brandy made the point as well about offering delivery or going online. Whether that is part of the business already or if that is something that gets now fast-tracked as part of the business plan in order to stay relevant and stay in business.
Indeed, that is exactly my move, and I've been doing it like since a couple of weeks ago when I saw that the trend was dropping sales from direct places as we are all called to be confined at home. And so I don't have a website, and I think the universe is talking to me. It's been a long time, actually. People are telling me, do you sell online? And in that sense, I'm not a very modern person. I prefer, you know, the direct contact with the customer and still selling on one-on-one. But I know we are living through times where online is becoming more and more important, and especially now it seems like the only way to go. So what I've been doing is I've been promoting myself through Facebook and Instagram, and I have settled into place a free delivery service in Dubai and then only 50 dirhams across the UAE so that people can still follow me and choosing the item they like, and then, you know, we'll be happy to take it to their door and prevent them from being safe and staying home.
On Facebook, Instagram and radio, we're very happily shining a bit of love on small businesses at the moment. So if you know a small business that you would like us to speak to highlight, to put in front of our listeners, that's what we're doing at the moment. That's Christina Franco, the owner and designer of Tipsy Gypsy.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
Looking at the impacts of various shutdowns here in the UAE. Shutdowns for good reasons, of course, as we are all encouraged to stay at home and try and cut this virus off at the knees. So malls are going to shut tomorrow. We've got restaurants in the UAE going delivery only. And we are relying, and I think we already are, on delivery platforms like never before. I ordered a salad last night, a salad, that was ordered through a delivery platform. It came double bagged. So I had the bag from the restaurant, the paper bag from the restaurant, and then I had a sort of sealed plastic bag on top of it as well. So we are having a look at what the delivery means for the restaurant industry. We've spoken to a number of restaurants before about the fees that some of the delivery platforms charge. And now the food critic Samantha Wood, founder of the restaurant review site Food Diva, is calling on platforms to do the right thing and help the restaurants out at this time. Sam, it's nice to speak to you. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Brandy.
And we're speaking to you because we spotted the open letter that you have written to food delivery aggregators, the sites that we all order from. What did you want to say to them?
Well, Brandy, we're facing a global crisis and all F&B operators are suffering, and delivery is now their only source of income. But these aggregators, these food delivery apps, are benefiting because aside from supermarkets, they are the only other means of food distribution in a crisis. And they charge commission rates up to a hefty 35%, which really isn't acceptable in a crisis. So aside from the ethical business practice of creating goodwill and loyalty, they should be supporting their restaurants at this time. Let me give you an example. Let's do a back of the envelope calculation. 100 dirhams average food order. I'm not sure how much you paid last night, but let's say for ease of numbers, let's say 100 dirhams. The cost of producing that order is 75%. So that's 75 dirhams. The profit to that restaurant is 25%. However, if they're paying just 30% commission to this platform, to one of the platforms, that's 30 dirhams. So they're running at a loss of 5 dirhams per order.
Are we seeing any relief from the delivery platforms? We've reached out to a couple of them this morning to get them to comment, and yesterday as well, and we will continue to do so. I know that globally, some of them have either slashed joining fees or waived delivery fees or waived joining fees. Have you heard of anything here?
The only thing that we've seen here is one of the platform has waived delivery fees, but that's not a cost to the restaurant. To make any impact in terms of supporting restaurants at this difficult time, they have to slash or waive commission fees. So we've not seen anything like that here. We've seen it in the UK and the US, but nothing here yet.
What's going to happen if they don't?
Well, it's very simple. Restaurants will close. Some are already shutting shop. Redundancies are being made. And with no restaurants, there's no food delivery app business. I'm really calling on them to do the right thing here and to support their restaurants at this time. If just one of these aggregators was to waive their commission for 1 month, most restaurants will sign up to their platform and will remain loyal customers after the crisis. And we hope that the other aggregators will follow as well.
Well, your letter has been online for more than 24 hours. Have any of the aggregators reached out to you? Have you heard from any of them?
Absolutely not. No, haven't heard anything. It's obviously got a lot of traction from restaurants and from the general public wanting to support local independents at this time of need. And we've had media support elsewhere. But I know for a fact that a number of media outlets have reached out to them for comment and they are not responding.
To play devil's advocate slightly, Sam, there is an argument that the delivery apps are the guys, and there are many of them, and we think of the big ones, but there are many small ones as well, who have guys out there on bikes who are interacting with more people every day, and you could argue are taking quite a risk with that as well. I mean, surely they deserve to earn enough to, you know, keep their business going, pay their guys, and look after them.
I'm not privy to their business model, but to take a 35% cut, what other business during a time of crisis can do that? They are profiteering when others are suffering and other businesses are going under. Surely at a time like this, this is when you need to show goodwill and actually build loyalty and turn a bad crisis into something good for your company. Put corporate social responsibility high on the agenda. We're not asking for them to do this for the next year. We're just asking them, during this lockdown period, please do the right thing and stand by your restaurant partners.
And what are the restaurants saying to you? Are you seeing more of them doing their own delivery?
Yes. I mean, obviously, some of them were already doing this and they're in a stronger position now. But restaurants are trying to put logistics in place. But obviously that comes with a cost attached to it and not much notice as well. So restaurants are trying to do that. And there's a delivery platform that Foodshake and Chatfood have launched to encourage people to order directly through the restaurants. But obviously that also needs to get traction as well.
Sam Wood, food critic and founder of the restaurant review site Foodiva. Thank you very much for speaking to us.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast. Newsmakers.
The movers and shakers shaping your world.
A lot of people are growing opportunistic beards at the moment because they're not appearing in an office. Here is one of my favourites.
Hi, everybody. This is Neil Diamond, and I know we're going through a rough time right now, but I love you. And I think maybe if we sing together, well, we'll just feel a little bit better.
Neil Diamond is hashtag staying home. He's in front of the fire. He's got a lovely beard going on, and he's also got a guitar. And he has rewritten a Dubai favourite. If you've ever been to an Emirates Airline Rugby Sevens, you'll know this song, but you won't necessarily know this version.
Hands, washing hands, reaching out, don't touch me, I won't touch you, sweet Caroline.
There you go. Don't touch me, I won't touch you. Number of celebrities getting involved in the hand washing and the rewrite song game. I have been watching quite a bit of Liam Gallagher on Twitter, rewriting a number of his hits. Whilst washing his hands, wearing sunglasses and a sun hat indoors. That's something else. And they're very, very funny. Champagne Supernova, that kind of thing. And it gets, I keep thinking, oh, cut that for the business breakfast. And then he gets to line three and it becomes inappropriate for radio. Mm. And I just think, yeah, maybe not.
Yeah,
but they're good. They are very good.
Are you a fan though of the celebrity advice, the celebrity video? It seems to be the way forward at the moment. Everyone worth their weight in celebrity now, so whatever, is getting up there and doing their bit. Do you think it helps?
So here's the thing, because there's been quite a bit of backlash, hasn't there? There's been the Madonna in the bath chat, and I just don't really want to hear it again, so I'm just not going to play it. Is that wrong?
It's not wrong at all. It's just very strange why she chose to do it. I mean, I think Madonna choosing to say what she's... Had she said what she said, which I think is very valid, she said that, and I quote, that's the thing about COVID-19, it doesn't care about how rich you are, how famous you are, how funny you are, how smart you are, where you live, how old you are, what amazing stories you can tell. It's the great equaliser. And what's terrible about it is what's great about it, which made people go, hang on. She goes on to say, what's terrible about it is that it's made us all equal in many ways. And what's wonderful about it is that it's made us all equal in many ways. You know what? That's poignant. That's good. That's a great little message to come across with. But you don't need to do it while sat in a bath. And yeah, okay, it's really artistic and, you know, you couldn't
see.
There were flower petals and she was trying to be as
Madonna-y
as possible. But, I mean, really, I mean, people advise this woman. She hasn't got to 61 years of age and hundreds of millions of record sales the world over without someone going, just do it in an armchair, Madge, with a cup of tea.
Yeah.
The roaring fire behind you.
Yeah, maybe a Labrador. No, exactly. A lot of them have been cringy and there has been some backlash, but a lot of them have been genuinely funny. And I think the ones that have just hit the right tone are the ones that work. Who doesn't love a bit of Neil Diamond in front of the fire?
Yeah. No, I think
he was wearing a cozy jumper.
And kudos to him for coming out and doing his. It's just, does everyone have to set... Are they just all bonkers, or is somebody trying to set themselves apart? It's all started. I blame Arnie.
Arnie and the miniature horse.
I blame Arnold Schwarzenegger and his miniature donkeys and horses. Which just I think that one people everyone saw that and go, ooh, right. How can I equal or better that with bizarre videos of support to the people out there? But rewording a popular song is not a bad one, that's for sure.
Well, while we are staying at home, you can absolutely guarantee that there will be a lot more of that kind of content over the internet. Having a look at some of the other things on the internet at the moment, I'm going to do it. I'm not bothered. German loo roll. Who'd have thought? The Germans who gave us the word Hamsterkauf, which means to stockpile, basically like a hamster, nuts for winter, all of that, have come out and have given us something else that we didn't know we needed. And that is an online calculator, blitzreiter.de, which I'm informed, A, that my pronunciation is terrible, and B, that it means lightning calculator. It was a site that already existed, but they've added a new feature. And that is, as a sort of a tongue-in-cheek slap at the toilet paper hoarding that we have seen happen around the world. The toilet paper fights. Pictures have come out from across the globe of people getting very upset in supermarkets. They've come up with a toilet paper calculator, basically. You put in how many loo rolls you've got. You put in your personal habits of consumption rates. I'm phrasing this carefully. People are eating breakfast. Frequency, duration.
Yeah, got it.
Various metrics, Tom.
Got it.
How many people are in your household, how long you are going to be buckling down and staying at home for, and it will tell you whether or not you have enough. And it will also tell you if you've overdone it. And I quote, am I a hamster buyer? Did I overdo it buying paper? And they've done it. And they say here that basically they've done it to kind of point out to people that the stockpiling of loo roll is vaguely ridiculous. In fact, they call it toilet paper hamster.
It is funny. I mean, you know me and research, pieces of scientific research. That I'm not sure how scientific this is, but there is method behind the madness, and I don't know whether it is contributing to the greater good of. But it is contributing to the greater good by that gallows humour that I think we both agreed everyone needs. If you can't laugh, then what can you do? And whilst we all appreciate how serious things are at the moment, you've got to try and find some means of getting through it, and laughter certainly helps. It's very good for the immune system as well, laughter, so do it as much as you can.
People are starting to send me screenshots of their Zoom meetings so that I can laugh at their colleagues. I've never met their colleagues. I'm absolutely loving it.
One thing that's very confusing me about the situation at the moment, and I know that different countries are employing different policies, and obviously we've seen some very stringent lockdown measures placed in the United Kingdom overnight. It's what is essential and what is not essential. What is a critical service and what is not a critical service? And there doesn't seem to be a list that pertains to that as yet. I mean, I'm just getting some horror stories out of the UK at the moment. Obviously, their lockdown is very new. But Sports Direct, do you know what I mean by Sports Direct?
I do know Sports Direct. Mike Ashley.
Mike Ashley, Sports Direct. Mike Ashley is basically telling his staff that they still have to work. His stores remain open despite Boris Johnson's uncompromising lockdown initiative and policies that were put in place yesterday, threatening fines with those that are flouting these new rules. Sports Direct has been deemed by Mike Ashley to be an essential workplace. Surely people can do without Sports Direct for 3 weeks. Surely you can do without a new pair of trainers for 3 weeks. Just wear the old ones.
I think then, I mean, I can, okay, I suppose the argument is it's important to keep fit and healthy. But I agree with you. I've managed to live nearly 42 years without an exercise bike. I reckon I'll probably make it through the next 3 weeks.
No one's going into Sports Direct to buy a home gym or a skipping rope, I can guarantee. I guarantee that's not their major sales at the moment. But a new pair of Nikes, is that going to get you through the lockdown? Possibly. But the fact that they're telling them that they are essential to the health of the nation and therefore all staff must come in to man the stores is beyond me. But it also, that's over in the UK, that's one thing. Here as well, a lot of people are sort of asking us the question this morning, why are we still at work? Are we deemed to be critical services?
Are we critical?
I think we are, in terms of the media, a number of listeners saying, you know, we want to be at home. How do we get that message across to our boss? Again, we will do all we can. We are endeavouring to get answers for you on those.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
The UAE is about to see its shopping malls and other commercial centres close as part of the effort to stop the coronavirus and keep us all at home. Hashtag stay home. You're all hearing it. And this is one of the ways that it is going to be even less tempting to go outside. It's crucial to keeping us healthy, but what does it mean for the retail sector? We are joined now by David McAdam, CEO of the Middle East Council of Shopping Centres. David, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Brandy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. And today is the last day if I've got something vital to pick up. And I do stress the vital that I can pop out and do it. From Wednesday morning, the malls are going to be shut for 2 weeks. What is your reaction to that decision?
Well, I think it's time. You know, it'll take months to fully understand the full impact of the coronavirus, and I think retail is no different. You look at some of the other neighboring countries in the GCC, Riyadh and Saudi Arabia closed their shopping centers some time ago. And I think that that was probably the right step. And it's the right step for the UAE starting tomorrow.
What kind of conversations are you having with your members? Because your members are the guys that, own and run the malls here.
Well, it's not an easy conversation. You're right, Brandy. I mean, it's people are social animals, and the retail industry is part of that social backdrop that people look to in the shopping center industry. But they also understand that the human interaction is probably part of, or is part of, the reason that the coronavirus is expanding in the region. So it's just natural to shut these shopping centers down. It's not nice. Not financially nice, but it is something that should be done. And I think everybody is working very much in favor of doing to make sure that they can limit the spread of the disease.
What are they doing to try and help the retailers, though, that are in their malls, whether that is shops, whether that is restaurants and the rest of it? Are you hearing any more talk about things like rent holidays?
Yes, you know, certainly that's part of the conversation. And you know, it's been what I've been reading about is that there's a rental abatement at some of the different shopping centers. And in Sharjah, there's been the Blue Suit there, and other different places have talked about a three-month rental abatement. But that's great. But don't also forget about there's staff, there's inventory, and there's other costs associated with operating a retail business. So it's not just that simple. However, these are strange times, and I think we will all get through it. It's just a case now of doing the right thing at the right time and having everybody follow along. Because at the end of the day, the financial end of things will get sorted one way or the other, and people, I think, will be reasonable, and we'll move on from here.
We've seen EMA come out and say that they are effectively setting up an online version of Dubai Mall using Noon.com, making it easy for their retailers to sell through Noon or through Namshi, depending on what it is they're actually selling. Are other of your members looking at online options?
Sure, absolutely. I know that the Apparel Group, for instance, with their Sixth Avenue, they've been ramping up. Others have been ramping up as well, wherever they can. You know, I think when people are confident about the future, and you and I have had this conversation before, when people are confident about the future, they're not hesitant at all about going out and buying things, apparel, whatever it is that they want. But when they're unsure about what the future holds, I'm not sure that everybody's in this acquisition buy mode that we could be when things are looking a lot better financially in the future. So I'm not sure that people are foregoing so much right now other than basically the necessities. And I think that that's where it'll stay for the next foreseeable future.
What else needs to happen, could happen, might happen in order to make sure that retailers and the malls themselves are in their best shape when things do get back to normal?
Well, you know, it'll take months to fully understand the full impact of this coronavirus, and retail is no different. And you know, the supply chain, for instance, I was reading the Times UK reported that 3,800 shops of Zara have been closed, and it was a 287 million euro write-down. But, you know, and then the bright side of all that is that in China, they have about 600 stores and they've mostly all opened again. So it's really hard to make anything sort of a fast and hard rule. My sense is that people will act reasonably going forward, and people will get through it.
David, just a quick one on the practicalities of the closures as well, because obviously headlines say malls will close as of first thing tomorrow morning. And yet we're told that pharmacies and supermarkets stay open. So in terms of what we can expect to see tomorrow, the doors are not going to be barred at the malls themselves. You'll still be going to use those essential services, but it's everything else around. Am I right in saying that?
Yes, I think, you know, it was tweeted, even I heard on the news just before coming on air, that Sheikh Hamdan has already said to everybody, do your bit, stay at home. And I think that if people do their bit and stay at home, that the virus will have a lesser, reduced impact. I think that if you need something in the grocery store, you can go. I think that if you need something in the pharmacy, you can go. I think social distancing is important. I think that the whole idea that the shopping centers themselves will remain open, but I'm not sure that they're going to be so welcoming for people to come through and just browse or walk through the shopping center. I think that it's one of those things where people should self-regulate.
Thanks very much for joining us this morning, David McAdam, CEO of the Middle East Council of Shopping Centres. We appreciate your time.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.